The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. .com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. We are in full pads. As full pads have come on, reporters are wearing full pads as we do this podcast as we speak.
That was demanded by Bruce Arians.
Absolutely. Yes. And we had our conditioning drills the other day.
It's going to be a physical training camp.
Very. Scott and I were doing Oklahoma's before practice today.
Scott's going up, heads up with Rick Shroud tomorrow.
Yep.
They're doing the Oklahoma drill because we got a day off on Wednesday.
Yes.
So. We take our jobs very seriously here. Seriously, we do. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema.
Who would win in an Oklahoma drill between you and Rick?
I would.
You think?
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because he's from Wisconsin, or where are you from?
What's that?
Where are you from? Kansas.
From Kansas.
That's near Oklahoma.
Yes, it is.
So you would win.
Closer to Oklahoma, yeah.
Oh, that's why?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Midwest.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a good reason.
No, that's the reason.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Mark, back to you.
And back to me. And we may allow Taylor Six Chins to chime in every once in a while. Hello, Taylor.
I'm just going to hold on the mic now. I'm not going to let it go.
No, you're going to let it go.
Okay, fine.
Okay, you're letting
back
it go.
Trevor.
And
his nickname is Grizz now, actually.
Grizz?
Yeah.
All right, producer extraordinaire, Mr. Matthew Matera.
What's up? What's up?
Our
Thank
resident.
God football's back.
Well, it was back last time we did a podcast, wasn't it?
No, technically it wasn't. Oh. Didn't we do it on Thursday?
Well, how did last night's go? Mondays or Sundays?
Well, we didn't do it because you were at a concert.
What?
You were at Lionel Richie.
You were at Lionel Richie.
That's not why we didn't do it. We didn't do it because
you were watching some
Matt
old
forgot.
Dude with a perm.
Ooh, ouch.
I mean, spot the lie. What was wrong about that sentence? He's an old dude. He's got a
and
perm.
And he still has better hair than you.
Whoa.
Shots fired.
No, couldn't be.
All right, Scott, we're going to do this podcast, but first we have to let our listeners hear about our wonderful title sponsor, Westshore Financial.
Of course we do. The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial. As you know, they're the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. I'll admit it. I was that guy, the guy that thought he had enough life insurance, the guy who didn't put nearly enough money away from my retirement. Guys, I procrastinated. Don't be like me. Call Chris Garrido and let his team at Westshore Financial come up with a sound strategy to protect your family's future. Chris told me it's not too late to bolster my retirement and my life insurance, and he's right. So if you're like me, if you haven't called Chris yet, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? Chris can put you on the path to sound investment and retirement strategies, but the thing is, you got to call. You don't wait. Call today. I've known Chris for over a decade. We've been friends, and I was a client of his long before Westshore Financial became the sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. And I trust him with my retirement. You can do the same. Call Chris today at 813-434-0037 for a complimentary, no obligation, preliminary conversation, and you'll be glad you did.
You know what? I need you to write, if you do me a favor, write that number down and give it to me. And after this podcast, I'm going to call him.
It's about time, Cookie.
Decided that I need to find a better way to secure my family's future. Scalping Lionel Richie tickets last night did not pan out.
It was not a windfall.
No, I ended up with 250 extra seats, and I ate all of them. I tried to give a couple away to a homeless guy. He's like, Lionel who? Oh, yeah, the guy on American Idol. And I was like, you're not taking these tickets, sir. So
blasphemy.
Yeah, anyway, Lionel Richie was amazing. He's a legend. A blanking blank legend.
You know who is not amazing today?
Better hear than me.
Jameis Winston.
Oh, the Winston haters out in force. One bad practice all of a sudden.
One.
Did you hear what Bruce said?
Come on.
Today after practice about him?
No, I wasn't there. What did he say?
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Did
Pro
he really?
Bowler. No.
Okay. No, he didn't say
that. Right.
I don't think anybody asked me about Winston today, which is unusual.
You
because,
cowards.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was interviewing Scotty Miller. Where
what
were
you
two?
Doing? What were you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
The training camp diary with Scotty Miller. What were you doing? Taking pictures of little kids, getting autographs in the stands?
No, not today. The lighting inside the indoor practice facility is terrible.
Well, Jameis Winston was terrible. I'm going to come
he
out
wasn't good.
Listen, when you throw an interception to a defensive end, Jeremiah Ledbetter.
Normally not good.
It's not good. Had a good look.
It's practice. That's what they do. You got to get Ledbetter's hands ready for the season.
You have to get those interceptions to defensive ends out of your system as a quarterback.
I think that just everybody on the offense looks really rattled right now.
Yeah,
they really do. The defense is just totally dominating them. And this is kind of what you're supposed to expect, but it makes you a little bit nervous because this is also what I was telling myself last year because – offensive lines, I mean, it's all about chemistry, right? You got to play together. You've got to be out there together. You got to see the different looks together. And right now, they haven't had their what they would want to be ideal starting five out there in pads once. I mean, Donovan Smith missed the first day of pads. DeMar Dotson missed today, which is Monday.
Yeah.
So they haven't exactly had their starting five out there. But at the same time, Todd Bowles is doing this offensive line no favors. There is no like, oh, we'll ease you boys into practice. It's basically, hey, we're going to find out if you guys suck or not.
Right.
And he is not holding anything back. They're throwing people off the edge, up the A-gap, from the corners. They're bringing safeties up. Yep. It's all over. He is throwing everything at these guys.
They're not playing cover two, are they?
No, they're absolutely not. They're playing man coverage, single high.
Single high safety, and the other safety is screaming towards the quarterback.
Who would have Kentrell Bryce killed? Who was it? No, it was the quarterback. Who did he kill? Was it Griffin?
Yeah, I think it was Griffin.
Yeah, he came. Kentrell timed a blitz so well. Yeah. Ryan Griffin would have actually died if that was a game,
and that would have been a loss.
And there would have went the Ryan Griffin fan club, which thinks he's better than Jameis Winston.
Well, and you know, Scott and I were talking yesterday when we were watching this team. You know, I told Scott I don't think that this defense the last 2 years believed in training camp that they were very good. I think some of the players thought they're pretty good players, but I don't think there was not the fire that we see. We've already seen the jawing, the camaraderie, a lot more this year. We saw them return, Mike Edwards return an interception
pick
and
six.
All the defense go down
Whole
there. They're having
went
fun
down there
out
and
there.
Did the boat celebration.
Yeah, I don't think they thought they were very good, but I also told Scott, we don't know if this defense is very good.
Right.
But they don't know that they're not very good, and that's okay. They think they're really good right now, and I like that.
I'll tell you, confidence mixed with a young football team is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that confidence can mask things like inexperience and just maybe
you're
not,
saying
not
in a good way or a bad way?
I'm in a very good way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And add in a guy that's got a hell of a resume as a defensive coordinator. They believe in what Todd Bowles is teaching.
Yeah.
I don't believe that this team believed in Mike Smith at least the last 2 years.
No, you're right. And when I was doing the
they were young, so like they didn't. I don't think they didn't know they couldn't believe in it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you know what?
A lot of these guys are second-year guys.
You got three first-year guys starting right now or
okay,
on the field
but,
a lot.
I mean, but like Gerald McCoy's lost his entire tenure in Tampa Bay. So has Lavonte David. What do they know? Yeah. They've never played for a good defense. So whether you were a veteran or you were a young guy, last year under Mike Smith, you didn't know any better. Nobody on Tampa's known any better.
And that kind of goes with what Carlton Davis was saying today at his press conference. He called Todd Bowles a genius. He said that the growing pains that they went through last year, it's making them better for this year. He was just, you could sense it the way he was speaking, that he was just so excited about what this defense is doing early on. I mean, it's only been four practices, but he just seems so optimistic. And the way he elaborated on everything, everyone's buying in already.
No, the problem is if Jimmy Garoppolo goes out there week one and they put up 34 points against this defense, then
that would never
confidence
happen.
The confidence is gone.
That would never happen.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, like Marcus Mariota would never do that in week one.
Yeah,
a couple
exactly,
years ago, and,
right?
You know, and last year, you know, when this team headed to Chicago,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know what? I will say
I'm
this:
just saying, pump the brakes a little.
No
bit.
Matter what happens, I guarantee you, the two things we'll never hear out of coaches' mouths is one is. We weren't San Francisco ready.
Right.
You want to hear that from Bruce Arians or Todd Bowles.
Thankfully.
And when we ask, how do you fix it, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles is not going to say, I don't know.
Right.
Like Dirk Cutter did last year.
Yeah.
Probably the most damning quote of any press conference.
Yeah.
I was just, our jaws just hit the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, I just couldn't believe he said that.
I knew, I'd already fix it.
Well, the thing, too, is when I talked to Kevin Minter, who's been in this Todd Bowles defense and saw it the first time around in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
when the Cardinals, under Bruce's first season there in the desert, went 10-6. And Bowles' defense really lit up the NFL with the sacks galore. And I believe that this team does believe that it's going to do big things. I mean, Kevin Minter said, we're going to be a top five defense this year. I don't think they are.
No,
but I think
of course
that,
not.
I think that they
no.
believe that they will be. And that's the important thing. That speaks to your point and Mark's point about having confidence with this young team to mask some inexperience and deficiencies.
I mean, at least they're going to give themselves a chance.
That's right.
You know, I mean, like last year and the year before, they weren't even giving themselves a chance.
Right.
They're just sitting back playing.
The scheme didn't
they're
give them the chance.
They're just hoping the offense messes up.
Yeah.
And in 2018, which is 2018 last year, in the NFL, the offense isn't going to mess up that much.
Right.
The game's too spread out. The rules are too bent towards the offense.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are too good. Offensive guys are too smart. They're just not going to mess up that much.
Yeah.
In college, you might be able to get away with it.
Yeah.
You can't in the NFL. You can't sit back, not put any pressure on NFL quarterbacks,
right,
and expect them not to absolutely light your ass up, because it's going to happen.
Yeah. Now, I believe that Jameis Winston is going to get his ass lit up by Bruce Arians sooner rather than later, because some of the decisions today were bad. They were boneheaded decisions. The decisions he made day one, where he threw a couple of interceptions, weren't bad decisions. It just wasn't like really a good a good play by the offense to go up and get the ball. These were some really good plays by the defense, and you have to give them credit. But I think that the sooner Bruce jumps on Jameis and straightens him out, I think that Jameis will improve as he gets used to the volume of blitzes and the looks that he's getting right now. The defense is ahead. That's to be expected. Bruce even said that. And I think that, you know, don't be alarmed. We're calling it like we see it. And Jameis did not have a good day. He's not had a great start to camp. But I think the best is yet to come for number three.
And I think the scary part is this might have been Jameis's best day. I think he had periods where he did look good.
I think he had some throws that where he looked good. I wouldn't say that today was his best.
I thought he had series. I mean, I think his first 11-on-11 period he played decent. He had arguably his best stretch of practice in the second 11-on-11 period.
Yeah.
So the first 11-on-11, I think he was okay. He had some deep passes to Mike Evans that looked good. He connected with Rashad Perryman on an out route. Some passes to I think he hit Chris Godwin for a good one.
And Chris Godwin had a great day.
Miscommunication where he sailed it.
Yeah, Chris Godwin had a really good day.
The second 11-on-11 period, I think Jameis hit Chris Godwin like four times for big plays. The second 11-on-11, I think, was his best stretch. Now, when he got down into the red zone, he was bad. He went 0-for-3 on those three chances, came back, and maybe on his fifth or sixth throw, had that touchdown to Justin Watson in the flat.
Yeah.
And then when it got down to the simulated game period, he was bad.
Yeah, the wheels just kind of came off the wagon there.
But I think he did have periods. One-on-ones are obviously going to be fine. It's a wide receiver and a defensive back, and the wide receiver always has the advantage.
Yeah.
But I think for about half of the first 11-on-11 period and most of the second 11-on-11 period, it was his best football that he's played this game.
Yeah. Let's go around the room here and talk about which guy has kind of caught your eye in terms of just whether it's an established starter who's really shown up that you expected, or somebody that's been unexpected that really is kind of dazzled you a little bit. So let's start with Mark.
Well, it's hard to narrow it down, Scott, so I'm going to choose two.
Okay.
I really,
here we go.
I really, really, really like what I see from Tanner Hudson.
Tanner Hudson.
Just kidding. No, he had a really good day today.
He did.
He had some opportunities because Cam was out, and so he had an opportunity to get more reps.
Yeah, Cam was out, and Anthony LeClaire didn't practice much today.
He was pretty sweaty after practice.
Yeah.
He was in there, so.
He's a sweater, though.
Yeah, he is a sweater. Because
he's from Canada.
He's
not used to it.
Canada. But no, seriously, I think Ali Marpet is quietly having a great camp.
Yep.
Starting yesterday in pads yesterday. Watched him in some, it was some combo drills. He and Ryan Jensen going up against Ndamukong Suh. But I've seen him, too, pick up some, even some blitzes. Saw him knock down Buchanan on his ass yesterday.
Yep.
Or maybe it was Saturday. I can't remember what day it was. In fact, it was Saturday because they weren't even in pads yet, and he knocked him down. I think Ali Marpet, if he stays healthy, really is going to be in Pro Bowl consideration. He's really settled into that left guard position.
Yep.
And I think if Donovan can play half of it, because, look, Donovan, I mean, your tackle or your center can make your guard look bad at times,
true,
too. So they've got to play well. And if they play steady, I think Ali Marpet should be in the talks for Pro Bowl consideration. I think he's really played well. And we already mentioned it, Chris Godwin. I said it last year, maybe even the year before. This guy is a number one receiver, just not on this football team because Mike Evans is here. He has number one receiver talent.
Yeah, right. He had an outstanding day today. So we're going to go in order here. I'll go in a second. Daria,
now you're giving away the order of how we're sitting in the room.
This is true. Yeah,
people are going to know.
Creepy.
Yeah. So the assassination plot will be complete. I'm going
to
say
Mark goes to the door, take him out first.
I'm going to say running back. Dari Ogunbowale.
Oh, yeah, Wisconsin, stand up.
This is a guy that it really didn't get a lot of pub heading into training camp, but he was the kick return guy last year. And if you remember, at Coach Armstrong's very first press conference, the special teams coach,
yes,
he mentioned Dari by name as a guy that really excited him watching the film because he's just as a north-south, you know, get as many yards as you can, no-nonsense kind of guy. And he's really translated that type of no-nonsense running style to offense where he's a dangerous receiver catching the ball out of the backfield. He's up to about 222 pounds. So he's probably just a few pounds shy of Peyton Barber. This guy is a load to bring down. He's got some wiggle.
He's very strong.
And he's having a very, very good camp. I think that he's going to win a roster spot at the expense of Bruce Anderson.
And he does.
Yeah, he does. And he's going to put some heat on Andre Ellington, who's had a really good camp and has the trust of this coaching staff being an Arizona Cardinal before. But I think that the Dari is going to steal some opportunity. And, of course, I think he's going to make the team on special teams. Mm-hmm. That's where his bread's buttered.
Boys, there was a player on this football team that we joked about previously on this podcast, saying that his play was so bad that he lost letters in his first name. Couldn't call him Ronald.
Yeah.
Couldn't call him Ron.
Yeah.
Just called him RJ. And I'm telling you right now, after 2 days, RJ is now Ron Jones. I'm ready to give him some letters back because Ronald Jones has been a pleasant surprise to me. You know, when you talk all offseason, you go, okay, yeah, the first year, you could convince yourself of reasons why he struggled last year. But it's not always a time thing. People think that, you just need time. They just need time. Well, sometimes you need more than time. And sometimes those guys, what they need, they don't get. And they just don't pan out.
Yeah.
And there's always that worry. But I really do think Ronald Jones is coming, especially these last 2 days of pads. I didn't see him the first 2 days, but these were the 2 days that I've been watching. He has looked visibly more confident, both as a runner and a receiver. Who did he torch? Which linebacker was that he caught over the coverage?
Levante.
It was Levante, wasn't it? So he looked smooth in that. I mean, he went one-on-one versus Kevin Minter, absolutely smoked him today.
Yep.
And I was watching a couple of the run fit drills where, they're just handing it off and everything. But, like, Jones was seeing the hole where it was. He was going all out. I even saw a couple of juke moves from behind the line of scrimmage, stuff that I saw at USC that I didn't see last year.
The two
year.
Big things that I've noticed is improved hands.
Yes.
Where he's really shown better hands.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Todd McNair, for fixing that. And number two, he's shown some power.
Right.
He had one of the best runs that I think he's ever had in his year and, going on 2 years, not even a year and a half, but, I mean, second training camp.
Right.
Where he busted that one up the middle when we went outside yesterday in the afternoon. And, he has to break some tackles. He's got to show some power.
He just doesn't look scared this year.
He doesn't.
And I don't know if it's because he's up to 220.
Could be.
Maybe it was because he played too light of a weight last year when he was getting hit. He was like, all right, damn, this hurts.
Yeah.
Maybe
more body armor.
That he's got more body armor on him, that he's more confident. But whatever it is, when he's got the ball out of the backfield or whether he's going to catch it out of the air, he looks like a confident football player. He looks like a guy who says, hey, I'm an NFL player, damn it. Like, I deserve to be here, and I'm going to go make the play.
Right.
Did not see that from him a lick last year.
Yeah,
so,
I was telling Scott, I talked to him briefly after one of the practices. He's an entirely different person, personality-wise. And Jameis, Bruce, and a couple other people have mentioned that. He just seems like he's enjoying things. He's having fun. And, last year, this guy was just completely overwhelmed between the playbook and his duties and his responsibilities. So, good to see him coming out of his shell a little bit.
For me, it feels like a little bit of a cop out to go with guys in the D line because they've only had 2 days in pads and one of them's only had one. But I think the Kool-Aid man, Noah Spence, has looked good for what it is. I think he's looked fast off the edge. I think he's used good hands. But yesterday, Ndamukong Suh just looked great. Ndamukong Suh, there were times when they were trying to do run only drills and he almost just kind of ruined the practice for the offensive side of the ball because he was just getting through the offensive line so quick and attacking that backfield. And I mean, just opening things up for guys like Lavonte David to get in there, for guys like Devin White to get in there. And it seemed like he had a half dozen tackles for loss yesterday. He had a veteran day off. I asked Bruce about it after practice, and he says just a veteran day off, no injury, so he should be back in pads tomorrow. But he just wreaked havoc yesterday.
I've been really impressed with Sean Murphy Bunting so far. I think he's got great size and speed, obviously, but he's not just doing it in the pass game. He's doing it in the blitz as well. He had a nice blitz today that would have clearly been a sack, but obviously can't hit the quarterback. And as far as in the pass game...
they should one time. I mean, at least just light his ass
just
up.
Put Testaverde Jr. in there. Yeah. Let him be the tackling dummy.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, he had a great blitz on that play today. And then as far as his pass coverage, he's really making a name for himself, trying to get that nickel position. And he's playing with a lot of confidence. He had this awesome pass breakup where he almost made a one-handed interception. It was right at the goal line. And I just loved the little cockiness and swagger after where he shook his head at the receiver. Not totally disrespectful, but you know, he was pumping himself up. And I just think the way he plays, he's got better hands than Carlton Davis, and he's really going to make an effect. He's getting his hands on a ton of plays, not just one or two plays that stand out, and he's making those interceptions that Carlton Davis has been dropping left and right.
Well, and I'm going to give away just a touch of the Scotty Miller training camp diary that'll be up tomorrow.
Great.
Spoke
nobody's
to him after practice today. Well, there's
spoiler,
a lot more than
cutting
this.
Cutting our legs from underneath.
But
spoiler
he,
alert. Jeez.
Okay, if you don't want to hear it, just want to read it, cover your ears for
all right,
the next 20
fine,
seconds.
I will.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, Scotty Miller said Carlton Davis it probably presents really the toughest challenge for him because of his length and size. And, you know, Scotty said he was so used to just using his speed to get around receivers. And he's had to learn some counter hand moves, you know, to fight off a guy like Carlton Davis. And he really thinks Carlton's going to have a good year. He said, obviously, I wasn't here last year. But he's the guy that's probably given me the most trouble, at least initially getting out of his, you know, getting into
right.
his route.
Well, back to your point about Sean Murphy Bunting, the rookie out of Central Michigan. He is playing
Wait,
a lot of...
Trevor, you can uncover your ears now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is playing some nickel. He's also playing outside. And out of all the cornerbacks, he's the one that's caught Rondé Barber's eye. And I've had a chance to speak to Rondé.
Nah, stop it. Vernon Hargraves also caught Rondé's eye.
That's true. But I think that...
what does he know about
I think
corners?
Vernon's been usurped now by Sean Murphy
he's
Bunting.
He's been what?
Usurped.
Like, I think it's like, unsurped.
No, I think it's usurped.
Yeah, I think
I
it's,
thought it was inserped.
No.
Oh. Insert is... Never mind.
No. Keep it lean, boys. So, no, but he's been moved down the totem pole in terms of the Buccaneer corners. And what I like about Sean Murphy Bunting is the guy he reminds me of is Donnie Abraham. Back in 1996, he had 5 interceptions as a rookie, set the Bucs rookie record. Actually broke the team's all-time interception record with 31 picks before some guy named Rondé Barber ended up topping that record. So, Donnie Abraham, number 2 all-time in interceptions in team history, and I think the Sean Murphy Bunting has some of that coolness, that smoothness that Donnie displayed as a rookie.
Well, there we go.
With a little, with a touch more swagger, though, right?
Yeah, and bigger size,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you know, bigger size, too.
5'11", 6 foot.
You know, we were talking about hitting the quarterbacks earlier. I think they should be able to do that. And, you know, if they would allow the quarterbacks to get hit, then they're going to have to give them some extra protection. So what I'm thinking, they go to T.A. Mahoney's, pick up some life jackets.
Yes. Now you're
you know
talking.
What I mean?
I mean, they're orange, probably.
Right.
So,
right. They're orange.
Like just,
they put them
out.
On. If they do get hit, you know, it's going to protect them a little bit.
Yeah.
And if they get hard enough, they end up in that pond next to one Buccaneer place. They won't drown.
Or maybe if they get hit a bunch, then they'll just buy, like, an air horn or whatever, and they'll just, like, fire that off when the
corner's
coming.
Well, and if they do
them.
Get knocked in the pond, they can fire off their
flare gun.
Their flare gun from T.A. Mahoney's, which has the largest selection of flare guns in the entire Tampa Bay area. Since 1948, T.A. Mahoney's has been your one-stop shop for all of your marine needs. We don't fact-check anything on this podcast, by the way. But I dare to find somebody find a bigger selection of flare guns
I've
than
been there.
T.A.
They
Mahoney's.
Have two.
They have two?
They have two kinds,
That's probably two
That's
more
all
than
you
any
need.
Other store in Tampa
That's all
Bay.
You need.
One for the left pocket, one for the right.
Yeah. Widest selection in the tri-state area.
T.A. Mahoney since 1948. You can find him online, tamahoney.com. tamahoney.com, proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Well, we'll transition back into something else. We've talked a lot about the offense and the defense, so we're going to wrap this podcast up now.
How about special teams? Let's talk about the kickers, because kicking woes have befuddled this team.
That gay guy is doing well.
He is.
Matt Gay, that is.
Yes. And Cairo Santos is also doing quite well.
No, they really are. And, you know, competition is supposed to bring out the best. And we've all assumed Cairo is gone, and he probably is, unless Matt Gay just has a complete meltdown. But Cairo has really been matching him. They've been alternating day. Each day, one guy goes, and the next guy goes the next day.
Yeah. I was thinking about that as I was watching it today. How brutal is that? You know, you're going like day for day. It's not even like, okay, both of you get to kick every day.
Right.
You know that when you get done with your last kick in a drill, it's now 48 hours until I get to kick again.
Yeah,
and I've got to watch all this football. Yep. I got to think about it. I then got to watch the guy I'm going up against. Then I got to wait another 24 hours to get my shot.
Right.
It's brutal.
It is.
They're putting a lot of mental games on these kids.
Yeah, at first I thought that your premise was right when you said the other day, well, why aren't they alternating? Why don't they have Matt Gay make a kick and then Cairo make a kick and all that? But I, like you, have thought about it and said, well,
this is way better.
More pressure. It's basically like, Matt, this is your day. Cairo, your day is coming.
I can't remember who I was talking to. It might have been Christian. Shout out Christian, big fan of the podcast. We were talking about kickers, and I was saying to him, you can find a kicker anywhere. Anybody can kick the ball. Anybody's got a big leg. You find former soccer players that can kick a damn football. It's about, like, above the shoulders that matters.
I was going to say, I think Jason Light might disagree.
No, yeah. Well, he picked guys who couldn't do it above the shoulders. Good ones. Yeah. You know? If you find a kicker that doesn't have the leg, then I don't know what to tell you. But a lot of times the kicking game is just, and special teams in general.
It's not a lot of times. It's all the time.
Yeah,
again,
I
mentioned this. My son was a kicker his first 2 years in high school. But he
crapped himself.
Totally, had
literally,
a complete
on the field
meltdown. Not quite that bad. Wasn't as bad as that Gator
player.
It
was crazy.
Wasn't as bad as that Gator player in Shreveport in that bowl game. Wasn't that bad.
You're burying Douglas right now.
So sorry, he doesn't listen to us. He doesn't listen to anything Dad says.
All right, I take it back.
But it was complete. It was a total mental meltdown. The guy in practice was money, was golden, and as soon as the lights came on Friday night, he just couldn't handle it. And he just told me, "I'm just not cut out for this." And you're right, it is a mental thing. And a guy like Roberto Aguayo, we've mentioned it before. Here's a guy who just didn't miss Robbie Aguayo. Didn't miss through high school and college. And he had no idea how to correct when he started to have a slump. He never had a slump.
Yeah.
And so you're right, the mental part of it is so important. And listen, one of these two guys is going to emerge as a starting kicker when San Francisco comes to town. But if they go out there and miss an extra point and two field goals in that game, all of a sudden, they may be in a slump. And, you know, how do they get out of that? I don't know. Which one is going to be the most mental tough guy? I know one thing. Jay, he's not going to carry two kickers. But but one of them is going to be on speed dial, right? If this other one doesn't get a job. I mean, there's going to be other teams looking to see which one of these two guys get cut.
Well, and it's interesting, right? Because if they both have a strong camp, right, you're inclined to go with the draft pick. The
guy
with
the
stronger leg. Just cut them both.
And sign Robbie Aguayo.
Right.
Bring it
up. No, but I'm just saying, it's, I think.
I mean, if you can't decide, don't.
Well,
just cut them both.
Right. But I
just go for two.
I think what typically happens is if it's a tie, it goes to the veteran, the guy with experience, right?
But when
it comes to kickers in this situation with Matt Gay being a draft pick and having a stronger leg, I think the Bucs are more inclined, if all things are equal, to keep the rookie over the veteran in this instance.
What I mean, you know, Jason Light has to.
Wait, what if you know how, like, sometimes teams will get tricky and they'll put two quarterbacks in the backfield and they'll both put out their hands for the snap? What if you just sent two kickers out there, a righty and a lefty?
Well, that might be a disaster because then you're only blocking with, what, like, eight up front?
Yeah, but the defense will, you know, like, he's just standing up. And so, like, you don't know until the ball gets snapped. Listen, man, I've got innovative ideas, and I'm just giving them away.
First
for free.
Extra point
Y'all
that's missed, you just
this.
Go for two the rest of the year, I say.
Yeah.
Go for two. Yeah.
Matt Gay is huge. Maybe he can rush the passer. Maybe he can do something else.
Position flexibility.
He's practice squad eligible.
Right.
So maybe that's an option. But another thing is, man, I love kicker battles. I've been here with you guys for three training camps, and I've seen a kicker battle in each one.
Yeah.
So it's become like the norm.
Most teams don't have kicker battles.
Yeah. The, I was writing the thing about, no, I mean, come on, man. It's like every training camp I show up and what is the, it's like there are three certainties in life, death, taxes, and like a kicker battle at Bucs training camp.
That's true.
This will be the eighth straight year that the Bucs have had a new kicker on opening day.
What number
I think
was?
Going back to Patrick Murray's first stint in Tampa.
Yeah.
And so like You know, because this is not only like drafting a kicker is one thing. This is the second kicker Jason Light has drafted.
Yeah.
And he's the one that can kick it from 57 yards over the netting in the goalpost.
Right.
So obviously you want the best kicker to win the job, but you know that there's guys in the front office that are sitting there when Cairo Santos goes 9 for 9 going, mm-hmm. come on, man, miss one.
Yeah.
Like when Matt Gay goes out there and goes 7 for 8 one day and he kicks that one from 57 and Cairo Santos on day one had gone perfect with the exception of missing the 48 yarder. And then Matt Gay comes out there and, you know, misses one from 57 today or misses one from 60. You go, dang, Cairo Santos is in the lead, but I know he's not the guy that's going to be maybe pushing it 65.
Yeah, they're definitely, the guy I think, rooting for Matt Gay. I think that they want him to win the job, and we'll see what happens again, as you say, Mark, when the lights come on in training camp. Has there been any big-time disappointments to send it around the room before we get out of here? Mark, in terms of disappointments, has there been a player that has underwhelmed in your eyes so far?
I don't know that it's a disappointment, but they have Caleb Benenock as your backup left tackle. And
it's a disappointing situation is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, and I like Caleb. Great kid. And he puts forth effort out there, and he gets excited. And, you know, I saw him when they had a long run. He ran down and did the jump bump or whatever you call it with the running back after the long play. You know, he enjoys playing football, you can tell. But he just obviously was not a guard last year at all. And I don't know that he's – but right now, he's your first guy off the bench if DeMar or Donovan go down, and that's a little scary because, you know, there are times, and I watch offensive linemen a lot. There are times when he'll go through stretches of 4 or 5 plays where he looks pretty good, and then he just has the bonehead play.
Yeah.
You pointed out yesterday, Scott, there are probably 4 or 5 times we were watching him. He ended up on the ground. Mm-hmm. You don't want your left tackle on the ground.
No.
Right.
No, not at all.
I mean, that's just telling me he's off balance or he's just completely missing his guy to get that far off balance, or he's getting his ass handed to him.
Well, and I tell you, like, if you look at the guy, he's always had skinny calves, and to me, I don't know how you're an offensive lineman with skinny calves. I just don't.
That's why I don't play online.
Yeah. I mean, rarely can you do that. DeMar Dotson's really the exception. He has no ass and really no legs.
Got everything.
But he's just gifted with his footwork.
Yeah.
A lot more than Caleb is. Caleb does not have the footwork that DeMar Dotson does.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say Ryan Griffin. You're welcome to chime in too, Matt. But Ryan Griffin to me just does not look like he is cut out for the league. I like Ryan as a guy. He's a good guy. I know he's
the best looking guy on the team. Well, he's one handsome devil. Well, not even close. Are you kidding me? What? Yeah. Have you looked in their eyes? Oh, come on.
Cam Brate's a good looking man. I'm just saying.
You people are nuts.
All right. Anyways,
there'll be a Twitter poll I'll put up later.
Well, listen, Ryan Griffin to me just.
Notice Trevor didn't pipe in on that.
I don't know that he has.
Didn't make up my mind.
I don't know that he has what it takes from arm strength standpoint. And I don't see the it factor from him. I don't know that he has the intangibles. I think that he is at best a third string quarterback. And the problem right now in Tampa Bay is this team is still deciding if Jameis Winston will be the starting quarterback next year, right? And Blaine Gabbert, as long as Bruce is here, might be the backup. He signed a 1-year deal. But, gosh, you'd almost like to have somebody better than Blaine Gabbert, right? Somebody in the hopper that if something did happen to Jameis, even if he became the starter, that you could have some hope that there might be a guy to come and salvage the season. I don't think Ryan Griffin is anywhere close to being as good as Blaine Gabbert. And Blaine Gabbert isn't that great.
Well, Blaine has the experience factor. I mean, he's played in meaningful football
games.
He's
got a better arm, too. I mean, yeah. And he's a better athlete. He's faster. I mean, Blaine Gabbert
he's
is better.
He's not as good looking, though.
Well,
No, he takes the cake.
I don't have a crush on Ryan Griffin that you do. Okay, Trevor.
All right, fine. I'll say it. Jameis. Jameis has not been. I'm not saying that Jameis is like god awful, or that he's not going to be the starter, or that somebody is better than him at camp. But you know what? It's his fifth year in the league. Take control. Look like the best damn quarterback out there. Yeah, he can have off days. It's fine. But like. This is
he's been the best quarterback out there, to be fair.
I mean, but that's true. But not like saying much. Well, Blaine Gabbert threw the ball better than he did yesterday.
Yeah.
He really did. And so that's kind of my point. I don't want to be sitting here talking about Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
I don't. It's year 5. I want to be talking about Jameis Winston. That's my thing. He hasn't been terrible. He hasn't been uncorrect.
Right.
He hasn't been abysmal.
But he
he also has not seen. He has not went up against a practice defense
like, anywhere close to this.
Not even close. Right, and they are trying to overwhelm him with everything they can.
I'm not harping on him like he's not the guy.
You're just saying right now, week
one.
You are
asking me who I've been disappointed with.
You sound like a Gators fan.
Okay. I want him to play better.
That's fair.
I think that he should. There you go.
That's fair.
If you want to win football games, he's got to be playing better. That's my thing.
Give the mic to Taylor.
Grizz?
Yeah, Grizz.
I appreciate you, Trevor. You completely took the legs out from under me. Of course. I mean, it's Jameis. It has to be. I'm sorry. I don't want to be the guy who sits here and repeats what you just said, but like...
But you're going to be.
That's the fact. I mean, I think... We even said it. I think today was probably his best day of practice, and you guys literally called it terrible. And that's saying something. Fifth-year guy, QB Whisperer came in, and it was just, I think, the most comfortable people have been in Jameis in years because they go, if anyone can fix him, Bruce Arians can. And again, Todd Bowles' defense, they're throwing everything at him, and he hasn't been god-awful. But when are we going to ever feel comfortable with Jameis Winston standing there in the pocket? It's got to come at some point.
Yeah, my first choice was Ryan Griffin, which, Scott, you already said. And I think another example of that was just today when Mike Edwards got the pick six. He read his eyes completely, didn't even shake off the defender or anything, and took it straight to the house. But if I had to take a backup, backup to the already original backup quarterback that I'm picking, I just think the offensive line as a whole is it's just really been a problem. And I understand that they all haven't played together and that Todd Bowles is throwing all these blitzing schemes, but... And it's part of why Jameis is on this list as well, too. He can't get in a rhythm at all. And, again...
I agree with that. I think that's a big part of it. Really, all these quarterbacks...
You can't
quarterbacks,
get in rhythm because
right?
you have
yeah,
to
that's a good point.
Move left. You have to move right. You have to move backwards. Yeah,
at least a third of their pass dropbacks, they would have been sacked.
Yeah,
right?
and
there's
like,
people
all
over the place.
Oh, well, how are they going to get to the quarterback this play? Are they just going around the edge? Because sometimes it's just a simple stunt, it's just going right past
them. That certainly contributed to that, and... The one thing I will say that is kind of a bright spot, at least in week one, at least a couple days into pads, you know who has not been awful? Alex Kappa. Alex Kappa's been
you know why?
Right guard.
Somebody asked me about
he's
that.
He's kind of held his own.
In the mailbag. And you know what? I had to think about how he's played. And the fact that I had to think about it tells you that he's playing okay, that he's playing solid, because
really
there hasn't
like
been any glaring errors that we've seen from him. Yeah. Anyway, so has everybody done their thing? We've got a Scott and I have been practicing our London speak. Give him a little bit, Scott.
Cheerio.
Do I make you horny,
Randy?
I mean, we're
good, baby. Good.
I think I'm going to go totally Austin Powers the entire time.
I was Austin Powers for Halloween for a couple. I did it like 2 years in a row.
Does not shock me at
all.
You
should walk around with some of those fake Austin Powers teeth.
Well, I kind
of
have
London
those anyway.
Fit right in.
Yeah, yeah. I chew tobacco, so
that's true.
It's not too far
you're
off.
On your way.
But anyway, so what we're also going to do now, we need to go practice eating some food, Scott. And there's only one place in Tampa area where you can get amazing British type pub food, and that is Yeoman's Cask and Lion, downtown Tampa, also over in the Kissimmee area. What I love, Scott, is the new Queen's Lunch Board with 10 items under $10. Each item is $10. You don't get all 10 for $10.
So I can't order all 10.
Nope. But from 11 to 2 Monday through Friday, camp doesn't start till 4. Why haven't we been over to Yeoman's yet?
We need to go.
10 lunch specials, amazing
probably
ones.
Because I'm working.
Well, sometimes. I mean,
this job.
The Underground is one of my favorites. It's an amazing meal. The chicken tenders, the fish and chips, the Prime Minister shrimp, the Heartland salad. What else do they have on there? The Camden Town Caesar salad, the Philly steak mac, the Fergie melt, the Hutchcraft. All of these are on the 10 items under $10 menu. Yeoman's is the place to go. We're going to have a watch party for that London game. Scott and I will not be there. Matt and Taylor will probably be handling that, which I don't know if that's going to hurt or help business, but we hope you'll go out to Yeoman's. They're going to open up early for us. We're going to have more details on that coming up in the very near future, so you can go watch that London game
and get the authentic
London feel without paying the outrageous prices to fly to London.
And that's a 9:30 a.m. kickoff in America.
And we're
going to
open up the bar for you
alcoholics. Yep.
Or people that just like to drink early in the day.
We got to pregame that bad boy.
Yeoman's, located downtown near Amalie Arena. Go check them out. Also, if you're in the Kissimmee area, they're over there as well, part of the Ford's Restaurant Group. And we appreciate them being a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast as well. We're going to have some happy hours coming up for our listeners and readers as well. So I hope you'll come join us there. Again, those details will be forthcoming. And by the way, it is USERP or ERSERP. It's not UNSERP. You're right. I looked it up.
Yeah, it's USERP.
Yep, USERP.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Anything else, fellas?
I'm going to say...
anything you want to plug?
Congrats to Tampa Bay Lightning goalie Andre Vasilevsky. Staying in Tampa. 8-year deal. Love it.
Rip off.
Can't wait to not
waste
sign point.
Threw money away. Did they not watch the playoffs? And they signed him to that much money?
Can't wait to choke again?
He was terrible in the playoffs.
Gosh, you're a bitter man, Trevor Sikkema.
Listen, man, I'm hurt. Last landing game I went through was game 7. Or, what was it? Must have been game 2. Yeah. Because they got swept.
Yeah, they didn't make it to game 7. Yeah.
They made it to 4. That was it. So
what? They only made it to 4?
Yeah.
I thought that they didn't even win the first one. You're
no.
right.
No, God. They were up 3-0 at the end of the first period. And I was fucking mad shit on Twitter.
Gosh.
And it did not go well.
Yeah.
Well, we're back to covering the best team in Tampa Bay sports. That's the Buccaneers. No? Not yet? Not ready to crown them the best team in Tampa Bay yet?
Not quite ready. We'll see.
Are they first?
Show me.
There's a question.
Show me. Exist.
They may be the third best team right now with the Lightning. You don't even have a microphone. No one can hear what you're saying. That's the best part.
The crazy thing is, like, the Rays are, I'd say that right now, the second best team in Tampa Bay. I don't even want to talk about them. I'm disgusted by them.
The Rays?
And the Lightning get their break records, choke. God, what do we have in this city, man? We must have built this whole city on, like, a Seminole burial ground.
Probably. That is actually true. Especially down there around that Lightning area. Fort Brooke, that was Fort Brooke area. So, yeah, there's some, yeah, definitely. All right, well, we'll be back. We're aiming for a Thursday podcast. It's a later practice. Tomorrow, which is Tuesday, if you're coming out, we'll start at 4, weather permitting. Off on Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a 6:30 starts, right?
Yes, we got some serious.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, or
yes.
6:30 starts?
Yeah.
6:30 to 9:30.
Lord, Trevor won't be going out Friday, Saturday night.
No, I'll still be going out.
Alyssa will be happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'll still be going out.
Yeah, we'll be flying to Charlotte.
Pewter Nation, thank you for logging into pewterreport.com and also following us on Twitter. We've had several hundred new Twitter followers just since the start of camp.
We got
so.
The best live training camp coverage, bar none.
Absolutely.
Bar none.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
no,
thank you, Pewter Nation. We appreciate your support.
Andrew in Tampa, he is a big Winston fan. He was out at training camp today. I told him I would give him a shout-out on the podcast.
What up, Andrew?
Andrew.
You said Christian earlier. There was another guy over the weekend. I'm terrible. I can't remember his name. I didn't write it down. So whoever you are, I remember meeting you and your wife. Thank you. If you see us wandering around, say hello. We appreciate it. Even if you don't like us, say hello anyway. But Andrew is a big fan. He's a CPA as well. So I might when I make all this money with West Shore Financial, I might take my money over there and let him write the checks for me.
There you go.
All right. Well, for Matt Matera, for Grizz, for Trevor Sikkema and Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook. Sam, we'll see you next week or later this week with another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Out.
Out.
We out, yeah.